Lowe's knows tough jobs call for tougher tools. The new DeWalt Elite Series Power Tool Accessories are built to last for the pro who doesn't stop. With precision fitment, durability, and impact resistance, finishing jobs faster has never been easier. Shop the new DeWalt Elite Series at an everyday low price exclusively at Lowe's. We help, you save.
It's time for Scuttlebutt Ultras. Quick takes from our Patreon Ultras, sharing their Sounders thoughts straight from the heart. Your voice, your moment.
Hello and welcome to another episode of Scuttlebutt Ultras. I am one of your hosts, Cameron Collins, and I am here with Cedar and Alex. What is up, you two?
Yo, yo.
What's going on, guys?
Big week in Sounders land. Good game. Bad injury news. Good injury news. Lots of stuff. How we feeling?
Better than after the Rapids game last week.
Yeah, I can agree with you on that, Cedar. Very, very content at the moment.
I'll be honest, I don't even remember the Rapids game at this point because so much has happened since then. Did we win the Rapids game?
No,
we blew a 3-0 lead. That's right.
For the first time in our history at Lumen, yeah?
Yeah, good times.
It's great.
Good times. So is there any news from around the league we want to hit on? MLS All-Star game, I know you both were kind of talking about it. Messi didn't play. Jordi Alba didn't play. We don't know yet if there'll be any punishment for them not playing. I think some of the arguments people have been making anti-Messi about it are disingenuous. They compared the minutes Hany Mukhtar has played to Messi, but I think Messi's twice his age, so I don't know if that is really the same thing. But did you watch the match? What did you think of it? And is there anything to take away from the fact that the MLS All-Stars beat Liga MX?
I watched a little bit of the end of it, but I watched the highlights. So I really don't know much about what happened, but I think as far as MLS beating Liga MX is that they're barely starting their season and we're already halfway through our season. So most of the MLS players are already in game routine, game form, whereas their Liga MX players are still trying to get fitness. So for them, it was more of a preseason tour where they just got to play a game, sign autographs, and take photos.
Yeah, I was working for the All-Star game, so I just watched the highlights. But I was sick on Tuesday, so I stayed home from work, and I ended up watching a lot of the All-Star Skills Challenge. And it was mildly entertaining. It was something to watch. It was cool. But I guess the takeaway from maybe Messi and Jordi Alba not joining is, I mean, I don't really care because, again, it's just All-Stars. I mean, we see this in other sports, right? Guys who should make, you know, the Pro Bowl, who should make the All-Star game, end up not making it. And I guess it sounds like they opted out of playing, and so maybe the league obviously is mad at that. But, you know, as somebody who doesn't really, you know, care about that, I don't care. But I wouldn't be surprised if the league does punish them for that somehow.
I mean, you're supposed to be suspended if you don't play. That everyone else, anyone who isn't them would be suspended. So the question is, will they be? Garber says they're working on it, whatever that means.
No,
they're gonna slap on the wrist. They're not gonna like get suspended.
Yeah, I seen like a video and it's just like they're gonna get a pass this time. So don't be surprised when they don't get suspended for a match or get a fine.
fine is fine, I think, but they got to do something. I think the Messi hatred has gotten a little out of control. I mean, people are criticize him for things that he has no control over and don't give him credit for things that he can control. So it seems like if you can't beat him, just shit on him is where they're at right now.
I think they're just mad that he didn't go to their team.
Yeah. Whereas I'm just mad that our team doesn't have that kind of ambition.
We don't got the money.
I don't know if signing him is the best move, but that's a little bit a higher level signing than I think would be worth it monetarily, because they're going to be screwed once their tickets are still that high and he's gone.
Yeah. But,
you know, I would take any forward at this point.
Well, they'll have Rodrigo De Paul. He'll sell tickets. No, he won't, but.
No Americans heard of him.
Hey, now.
He's not getting people to come in and you know, people aren't going to try and watch him, basically. He's not that kind of player.
Well, you know what MLS needs to do? They need to bring in, you know, the best soccer player in the world, according to the ESPYs, Christian Pulisic.
No, he'll.
I mean, that's the best American soccer player. They know
he'll
that.
Take a lot of rest days, load management.
Yeah, he's made of glass. When he was at Chelsea, he missed everything. So,
didn't he still win the Champions League?
I don't think so. It's been a while since we've won a Champions League.
And with Chelsea, I mean, they have so many players on their roster, right? I mean, don't like 40 people win a trophy whenever they win a trophy? You know, like,
they need a double-decker bus.
More than that.
Two of them.
Yeah, I mean, last year they were sending people away just because there was too many people and they couldn't have them all at training.
That's wild.
Seems like maybe they figured it out a little bit. But yeah.
Yeah, I don't get the Messi hate either. I honestly wanna beat him. I'm glad he's in the league. I'm waiting for the Sounders to get to play Inter Miami so that we can actually, you know, get a chance at beating the guy.
And we play at Miami this year, don't we? I think we do. They gave away at the Rave Gala this past weekend. They gave away a trip to Miami on September 16th. We play down there,
okay. Which is a weirdly enough, it's a Tuesday,
huh?
Okay,
which is bizarre.
But. And we host the Galaxy 3 days before that. I wonder, but there's a 2 week break before that probably has to do with League's Cup in some fashion. I don't know. Is the League's Cup final like the end of August?
Let me check. I checked how much players are on the senior roster for Chelsea. It's 43 currently.
Yeah, but they have less than they had last year for sure. Yeah, the League's Cup final falls on
the 31st.
Last year was August 25th. Is it 31st?
Yeah,
this
August
year?
31st is scheduled.
Yeah. So right now the Sounders have a game scheduled August 30th at home versus Real Salt Lake. So that might need to be rescheduled if we decide to actually show up for the tournament.
I hope so.
I don't know. I think we have played outside of the Champions League where we did the run and won. So maybe this isn't fair. In all of the playoff finals, in all the big games, we'll say. So MLS Cup finals. We've showed up for a total of one half. Didn't show up for MLS Cup 2016. Didn't show up for MLS Cup 2017. We had one half in MLS Cup 2019 that was good. Didn't show up for MLS Cup 2020. Didn't show up for that first League's Cup final. We don't show up in big games. Maybe Club World Cup was a change for that. But the Sounders are not known, despite having two championships. I think we've won them in spite of ourselves. Because of penalties.
Do you think that the reason we don't show up to the games is on the players or the coaches? Like, what do you think is more so the reason for that?
I think there is a strong movement by our coaches that prevent, they don't play the hot hand, they play their favorites. And I think when Gonzo was here, he was able to convince them to play the hot hand. And that's why we saw success and actually won in 2019. He was gone in 2020 already. He had already gone out to Alaska to be interviewed for the, was it the Atlanta job, and then got COVID and wasn't there for the final. And so we didn't go with our hot players. We went with Schmetzer's favorite players and then got absolutely smoked. Didn't help that Nico was hurt. Didn't help that Jovan Jones was hurt, and didn't help that rookie, I think he was rookie, maybe second year, Alex Roldan was left on an island and got no help. I don't blame him for that. But yeah, I mean, I think there's lots of, and Caleb Porter just has always had our number for whatever reason.
Well, Morris showed up that day. Aiden Morris, unfortunately, but
yeah. I mean, Aiden Morris.
What I remember, all I remember from that game is Aiden Morris, and I hate it.
And Aiden Morris, I feel like because we're not a fan of his team, he's felt like a flash in the pan. He was supposed to be the next big USA player, and he hasn't developed in that, but I don't know how much is him not developing in that versus not just having the opportunities because he was in the MLS at the time. I think he's moved on now, right? Is he in Europe somewhere? I think he might be, or at least he was linked to somewhere. So yeah, he's in the championship for Middlesbrough. Oh no, it looks like he might be in, the preseason trip to Portugal. So yeah, he plays for Middlesbrough, which is good for him. Only 23, plenty of time to make an impact on youth soccer. Definitely a cool player to watch. Not the highest valued player at the moment, but continues to grow. So he has 9 appearances for USA.
Sounds about right.
Also 4 for the U23s, which he debuted at in October, which was after he was already playing for the USA. So October 2023. So that's pretty interesting that he played for the USA and then went back down to play for the U23s.
They're like, we could use you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He scored a goal for them. So I'm sure he's
I think Spain's done that with some of their players.
Yeah, Spain has so many good players that they definitely have the ability to do that. Interestingly, his debut, I know this is way off topic, but we're going to bring it back. Aiden Morris's debut for the U23s took place in a match where Obed Vargas scored a goal for the USA.
Oh,
the one and only.
Nice.
That's painful. That is painful.
What was the tournament? Like, what was the competition? Doesn't say.
It was against Mexico. It was a 2-1 victory for the USA. Nice. With Obed scoring the game-winning shot in the 90th minute, and then Mexico got their sole goal in the 93rd minute.
Okay.
Taylor Booth missed a penalty for the US. It was saved. And so I don't know what the tournament was, but it definitely was against Mexico. So, it doesn't get.
You said that game took place October 12th?
October 11th, 2020.
Oh, it was just a friendly. That's what AI is saying.
Yeah. Yep. At Phoenix Rising Soccer Stadium. 41st match day of the year for U23s, I guess. Or it's the 41st week of the year. I don't know which. But that brings us about to Obed Vargas, who did get in roughly 30 minutes, just under, I think, in the MLS All-Star game. Much deserving of being there. I don't think he was my highest sounder in the list for being there, but, pretty cool to see him get some minutes.
Absolutely. I feel like out of everybody on our team, whether or not, you could make an argument that somebody else, maybe like an Albert Rusnak, should have been more deserving of being an All-Star. I think that for somebody like Obed, he's gonna gain a lot out of getting to be an All-Star, getting to play against Liga MX, and he's still so young. It's got to be a really, really cool experience for him. So I'm glad he got to go.
Yeah, and being able to train with all of the all-stars from the other teams around the league, I think, especially him being such a young player, the best thing he could do is be a sponge and just soak up everything that everyone else is doing so he could perform at the top level and make the jump to Europe.
Yeah, I think they were expecting him to be phenomenal in the Club World Cup, and he was pretty poor leading up to the Club World Cup, and he was fine in the Club World Cup, but he hasn't been playing to the level they hoped that he would so that they could showcase him in that tournament. So this is another chance for them to be showcased.
No, I think, yeah, I think it's, no, it's like bringing all this attention to him. It's like, okay, now the people are going to start to watch now. So like all eyes on me type of thing.
What do you guys think that Obed's realistic ceiling is in terms of playing in Europe? Like, what kind of league do you think would be kind of perfect for him, one where he would excel?
You mean in end game or like next steps?
I guess both. You know, like what's the true potential there? Like, what do you guys think his highest potential?
Do
you guys have a read? Yeah. Like, what's your read on like where it might, if everything goes well, right? No big injuries, you know, and he does realize his potential. What could that be? What could that look like?
I think for me, it comes down to either Portugal or Spain. I can see him like the way that if Diego Simeone is still the coach in the next 5 years, I can see him. If he continues to improve, I can see him being a midfielder that would play in an Atletico Madrid midfield. Just like a box-to-box, does the work of the defensive end, does help on the offensive end. Kind of similar to the role that Rodrigo De Paul did when he was there. That's kind of like the role that I can see Obed taking.
Yeah, I think it... You know, his move to Mexico completely changes that path, right? Like, we have a lot of Mexican players in the Premier League, just across different leagues. Spain, you know, what's the Portuguese league name now? Whatever, NO3 or whatever.
Something like that.
Yeah, but it's got the, you know, like the
sponsor,
the tag in front of it. You know, if he'd still been with the USA, I think Germany would have been where they would have sent him, because that seems to be where our players tend to go. And I don't know why, if that's cultural, but we've always had that link with Germany, and it's been a place a lot of our players have gone. I think his playing style probably fits ultimately best in, I would say, England, but I don't think he's going straight there. I think unless you're sending him over to one of the bigger mid-high level leagues, so not Spain, not England, not Germany, but one of the other leagues, I don't think he goes, right? Like, they're not just going to sell him to Belgium. Like, if he's going to go, he's going to go play for a big
team.
What
about, like, a Netherlands? Or...
If I'm him, I'm not. You're going to get more looks here than you are there, just based on media.
You get Champions League, though, if you go to one of the, like an Ajax or a Feyenoord.
I mean, if you're going to Ajax, sure. I just don't think that he's going to a top team in a league, right? Like, he's more likely to go to a low-level Premier League team or a high-level championship team before he's going to be able to go to an Ajax or a Fenerbahce or a, you know, a team like that. What's the other team Turkey that's huge?
Galatasaray. I feel like Portugal, like a move to Portugal, isn't unrealistic.
No, I think that's realistic. I don't know if it's to Porto or you know, one of the top two, but I think he could gain a lot of benefit from being there. The question is, how's his Portuguese, right? I don't, just because you speak Spanish doesn't mean you speak Portuguese.
Yeah, they seem pretty different.
I mean, you can understand a bit, but, you know, it's like if you took Spanish and put German in there.
Yeah, he needs to get on Duolingo and start practicing.
Yeah, same with like. Still, if you go to Spain, they don't know how to speak Spanish in Spain. They have a lisp. Like, how would you take this beautiful Romance language and ruin it by adding a lisp?
Well, and then like, let's say you're in you know, if he ended up like at Barcelona or something, he'd have to learn Catalan.
Catalonia, visca Catalonia.
Yeah.
But would exactly, would they even be able to register him?
They can't register
anymore. I don't think they can register Rashford.
I would see him more likely to go. He's not at that level, right? He has to double or triple his value. But even for like a Nottingham Forest or a team like that, like they're not getting players of his caliber. They're getting players double his caliber. So he's far more likely to go to a championship team right now than any other team, unless he has a spurt in productivity that shows that he's, if he's Aussie level good, suddenly other teams start looking at him at his age. But right now he's not showing anything to me that shows me that he's going to be anywhere near a top team unless he's in their youth academy. And I don't think that's a good move for him. He needs to go to a team where he can show up, boss out, and then move up.
Where did Patrick Ajima go to? Derby County? Or was it... Because I think...
Were you talking about
Patrick Ajima? I think he left Charlotte.
Yeah,
did
right.
Did he go to Championship or League One?
He plays... Yeah, he went to the Championship. Yeah, for Derby County. Yeah, you got that.
See, so then, like... And I don't necessarily...
And they're a team that's at the top of the championship. So, I mean, you could see him... that's what I think. I could see him signing for a top championship team.
Like a Norwich.
If Norwich is doing all right. I mean, they're up and down, but I think they've been struggling a little bit lately. They have some good players right now in that position, I think. You know, Leicester is always a good team.
Brighton.
Someone that you could see them do well. QPR hasn't really been lately, I don't think. You know, maybe he just needs to get in with that Wrexham crowd and be on TV every
week. I mean, why not? American owners.
I know. Need to get on their radar. Somebody call up
Ryan Reynolds.
Ryan Reynolds, Canadian, but yeah. Wow. Rob Mack now. He changed his name.
Yeah. Well, just get on Mint Mobile if they're still doing that.
Yeah.
No, I think if Obid really wants to make the jump, we have to see almost like an MVP-like season from him, which I don't think he's at that level yet.
I think so. I think he can make it to the championship fine where he's at right now. I just think it won't be one of those top the teams that are going into the Premier League next year, right? Like, because I don't – like Wrexham is not. People will think they are. They're not. Unless they get a huge chunk of investment that lets them make a bunch of winter signings, I can't imagine that they are going. I mean, it takes years and years, right? They've just been very lucky and got the right amount of investment. But each level, there's more and more investment that has to go through. Mm-hmm. But a team could sign him based on his, maybe a Swansea, who we already have a relationship with, where he could go over and play and help them, you know, QPR, middle of the table team. So, someone like that, Derby County's, you know, bottom six, seven teams, they're 19th in the table. So yeah, you could see them going to a team like that where he could help, but isn't going to be in the Premier League next year because I can't see them bringing him along unless he's sitting on the bench yet. But yes, MVP caliber team or play is what we need.
God, that would be nice.
Why don't we take a quick break here and then come back and talk about this match from Saturday. Hey everybody, this is one of your hosts, Cameron Collins. Now, I know we said this time was time for a break, But really, it's a time for me to talk to you about our corporate overlords. And our corporate overlords are us. That's right. We would love it if you would head on over to patreon.com. and look for Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast. We will put the link here in the show. And subscribe. You can subscribe for as little as $1.74 a month. Now, what will that get you? Well, I'll guarantee you get at least one extra episode per month that'll be a cool interview or something like that that otherwise you would not hear. Now, we might put out promos or other things that include that, but the whole episode intact will only be available for you Patreons, at least initially. Now, there will be other stuff that we put in there, but this is where we're starting at. Why, you ask? Well, we have bills to pay, and we need to make sure that we can keep this show going. You would not believe the going rate for PA announcers. So head on over to Patreon, go to Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast, and subscribe. You even get a cool little downloadable membership that has our logo on it. That's Sounders Scuttlebutt Podcast over at patreon.com, patreon.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. And we're back. What were you just saying about Kezar?
Yeah, so Kezar Stadium in Golden Gate Park, where I live in old San Francisco, apparently they are getting they got the okay to I'm looking at the article right now. The deal grants Golden City Football Club an initial 15-year permit to use the stadium and secures a $10 million commitment for upgrades. And they will be an MLS Next Pro team. So that'll be cool. I would love to get to see, you know, the Tacoma Defiance come down and play, you know. And it would be way easier for me to get to Kezar than driving all the way down to San Jose for Earthquake Sounders games.
Or over to Sacramento.
Yeah, exactly.
I guess we don't play Sacramento that often, but I feel like it's every other year we're playing them in the U.S. Open Cup. Although, of course, that doesn't really happen with the Sounders anymore.
If I can just hop on, you know, a bus and then a Muni train over to Kezar, I'm a happy camper. So, yeah, that would be cool.
10,000 capacity, man. Kezar, home of one of the historic U.S. Open Cup Sounders matches between Seattle and San Jose, where post-game, this was like, there was a fan who live, like, streamed the game on Twitter, and there was no TV, so that's how we all watched it, was a live stream through Twitter. That's and awesome. Post-game, Eddie Johnson punched a San Jose player in the face. So one of the most iconic Sounders matches ever took place in Kezar.
We have to find that footage.
Awesome. Yeah, I want to watch it. Yeah. That's sick.
Hopefully these.
Yeah, and Kezar.
Hopefully still on Twitter.
I don't think people understand the history of Kezar. Like,
it's amazing.
It's been there. The 49ers played there from 1946 to 1970. The Raiders played there in 1960. Before that, Santa Clara football was there in 1935 to 1952. St. Mary's played there in 1927 to 1950, which those are two. They were the biggest rivals of each other at the time. San Francisco football, the USF played there in 1930 to 51 and 59 to 71. There was another pro team, football team that played there in 67. San Francisco Bay Seals played there in 98, 99.
Wow.
The major league lacrosse team, San Francisco Dragons played there 06, 07. USL 1 team, California Victory played there. San Francisco Stompers of the NPSL played there. Dogfish, Breeze, Deltas, and the San Francisco City FC play there. So there is a large soccer and football, American football history in that stadium.
What I always find so fascinating is back in the day before they, you know, basically downsized it, because it used to be like 60,000-70,000 capacity when the Niners were playing there and stuff. You have this giant stadium for an NFL team in just a sleepy little neighborhood in San Francisco. And, you know, everybody...
Just right down below, before the 60s, so it was before it became, like, hippie central.
No, totally. And just right in Golden Gate Park there. And, you know, people complain about parking in the city nowadays, but I was just reading about the history of Kezar and everything. People were complaining about parking back then, you know, because it was just like, it was impossible. But yeah, really cool that, you know, that's where the Niners were. Because I don't know. Until I think it's kind of cool.
1971. That's crazy. I mean, that's not that long ago.
No, it isn't. And I think it's pretty important for a team to play within the city limits of the name that they bear, which the current Niners do not do.
The Santa Clara 49ers?
Yeah, exactly. Oof. And so, I just love that history. And then also it's featured in Dirty Harry, which is a great, great film.
Right after the 49ers' last game there, they started filming there, not long after. So it's pretty funny. I was just looking. The final game there was the 49ers lost 17-10 to the Cowboys on January.
Let's go. Shout out to Dan the Bastard.
Yeah. it's a pretty historic stadium linked to our Sounders. The San Francisco Gaelic football team played there, too. That was their home stadium. That's pretty cool.
Oh, do we have a domestic Gaelic football league here?
We don't. I think it's more like clubs are set up and they will play each other at high, like their Seattle team will play San Francisco, but it's not like they're playing in real tournaments. It's that they play internally and then have a couple games a year against other teams around the country. And there's like one tournament.
Gotcha. Okay.
Oh, there was an ultimate team there. I didn't realize that. The San Francisco Dogfish.
That's Golden Gate Park, so, you know.
Yeah, and the cricket team that was there for a little bit. I don't even know. It doesn't even say what it was named. San Francisco Freedom were there. Because San Francisco does not have a major league cricket team, I do not believe. Have you heard about that? I don't think I've seen one. I know we have the Seattle Orcas here.
Speaking of which, where do the Orcas play, and have you guys been to a game?
They play in Dallas. So right now, Major League Cricket plays one tournament in Dallas over a 3-week period where all the teams come together.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
This year, they finally started doing stuff in the community here. I think it's anticipation of the league eventually going out and actually playing, and they'll play at Merrymore Park across the water. So
that's really cool.
yeah, I'm excited. Awesome. When they announced the team, I started paying attention to cricket a little more and learned some of the rules. I don't know. I don't think Alex is much of a cricket man.
Oh, that's why you hear crickets from me.
Yeah, Eddie Johnston, Kezar puncher. Yes. It was a big stadium right there near the water. I got to imagine that land is worth a lot, but it's on a public park. Thankfully.
Yeah, well, I'm like I said, if the Tacoma Defiance are going to come play at Golden Gate Park, I'm going to be there. So let's make it happen.
Yeah.
Live streaming on Twitter.
I will do that. Expected. I will do that for you guys. I'll bring the GoPro.
Amazing. So one thing we should mention, since usually I talk about this on the main show because it's not a feature of this show, but I don't think we're going to get an episode in, was that Hulk Hogan passed away today. A lot of people got mad at me for shit talking him, but dude is kind of a bad guy. Like he's a legend. I have his autograph. I loved him as a wrestler, but he spent a lot of years doing a lot of really shitty stuff. So. I'm that negative Nancy. Do you all have any positive things to say about Hulk Hogan and the impact he had on your lives?
No.
I just know he's a wrestler. That's it.
Yeah, I'm not into wrestling. I never got into it.
I was.
I know, like, it's a big deal.
Little kid. But I never. I was not. I had a run when I was in high school as well. When he moved over to the the other guys. WCW. See, that's how little I know. But
Right.
No, like
in New World Order.
I had like a wrestling game on the PS3, and I played that for like maybe a year or two. But like the only wrestler I really knew was Roman Reigns.
Yeah. Well, you know The Rock, his cousin.
Oh yeah, The Rock, the Uso brothers. I know a little bit, like the Samoans.
You're like, I know this guy. I know all of them.
They're like, I know Rey Mysterio, but that's just because I'm Mexican.
The only wrestling I know is Nacho Libre. That's all I know.
Yeah. Hey, that's a good movie.
It's a great movie.
Awesome movie.
I watched a documentary at some point that kind of broke down the real life wrestling leagues behind what Nacho Libre is depicting. It was pretty cool. I think it was a Vice documentary.
You know what, though? We might see Nacho Libre at the Leagues Cup game against Cruz Azul.
Like people dressed in Nacho Libre
clothes? There might be someone dressed as a Nacho Libre
clothes. Oh, I don't know what you call it, but yes, I've seen people dressed in that wrestling gear.
Like luchadors?
Yeah, luchadors, thank you. I have seen that before at games in Seattle versus teams from Mexico.
Are they shouting blue?
Blue.
Blue. Oh my god. And then Ozzy Osbourne just died.
Yep. And Theo Huxtable. Those were our three. From the Cosby Show.
Oh right.
Malcolm Jamal Warner.
Yeah, that's right.
Malcolm Jamal Warner was not that old. Very sad passing. He and his daughter were drowning, and they tried to save them, and they saved the daughter, but they couldn't save him.
God, that's
some awful. Local surfers jumped in the water in Costa Rica.
Jeez.
But,
yeah, I don't mean to sound flippant, but with Ozzy dying, it's like, well, that dude had a pretty – he did a lot of stuff, so.
Yeah.
Like, he had a pretty –
I was surprised that Ozzy died so soon after his last show. I didn't watch his last show, but – I want to. I just haven't had it gotten around to it, and I was very surprised. Yeah, I got into Black Sabbath when I was 12, I guess their second record, Paranoid, has been a huge part of my music life since then. So it was a sad passing for a lot of people. I think he's a joke because they just know him from the Osbournes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But musically, he basically helped create the genre of metal and rock, hard rock.
Oh, 100%.
Took blues music and stepped it into the hard rock realm.
Yes. Yeah, absolute legend.
Yeah. So Sounders played Saturday at a match that Alex and I attended in person. Cedar, were you able to watch it?
Yes, I was able to watch it. I was able to watch it live too, nice. Which is rare for me. So that was good.
How'd you feel about the match as it was going on from a TV perspective? We might have a different one because we were in the stadium. I think the vibe can be different.
Totally. I thought, overall, as I was watching it, I was thoroughly entertained. I mean, San Jose, we always have these shootouts with them, which we usually end up on the losing side of. So it was nice to come out on top. But I was watching it by myself, nobody around. When Pedro scored that goal, I like leapt up and I shouted so loud. I was so happy. I love that he showed up. Not only did he play well, but because we've seen him play well before, but he was a hero. And I think, especially with, now we know that Morris is going to be out for pretty much the rest of the season.
Yeah.
We need this team needs a hero. We don't just need people to play well. We've got a ton of players who play well week in, week out. We need a guy who takes a game by the scruff of the neck and wins it for us. And that's what Pedro did. And I think we've all been wanting to see that, and he delivered. So it was just really great to see.
Yeah. Agreed. Alex, you were in the stadium. How were you feeling throughout this match?
I was entertained for the most part. You know, like we went down first, and then I was like, all right, here we go. It's gonna be one of those games. And then we see Jordan go down. And then I'm like, oh, okay, our chances just went down, you know, even worse. We're not winning the Heritage Cup. And then I see Rusnak put in a cross. Danny gets on the end of it. I'm like, okay, like, we're back in this. And then in the second half, it just, the game completely changed. We were utilizing Pedro on the left, side of the field, because Christian Espinosa was pushing up so high. And I like that on Danny's second goal, Pedro wasn't selfish. Like, he hit a beautiful ball with the outside of his foot, served it on a platter where Danny, all he had to do was just touch it in.
Yeah.
And then his game winner, it was just like, I was tearing up tears of joy, because I'm a big, like, Pedro fan. Like, you know, free Pedro. Now you got to let
Pedro.
Vote for Pedro.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if you remember this because you were busy cheering, but I was standing in front of you. And as soon as he scored, I went nuts. And then I put two fingers directly at the Sounders bench and went, fuck you, Schmetzer. Free Pedro, which is your phrase you've come up with. And I, on Sunday at the Rave Gala, the Sounders charity arm, I hung out with Pedro for a little bit and told him all about Free Pedro. And he was so thankful and even came up and said bye to us when he was leaving. So
that's awesome.
Yeah. So he knows about the Free Pedro movement that we've started. Hashtag Free Pedro.
Awesome. Sign it, deliver it.
That we should be playing every. I also, oh gosh, guys, little side note here, but got a picture with Rusnak, and one of my friends who was there was saying, "Oh, you're my mom's favorite player," and he said, "Oh, I thought people in Seattle didn't like me." Like, completely, like, sincere. Yeah. Yeah, and I think it's because people get on him because they don't realize he's not there to be Clint Dempsey, right? He's not there to score goals. No. He does score goals. He's there to get assists and do other things and run the offense. Like, he's a quarterback, and they don't understand what he does. I think Aaron, you know, our founder of Sounders Scuttlebutt, made a video of what he did in the Champions League final and how important he was on those goals. And I said, no, man, you're our assist and goal king. Like, we love you. So I felt so bad. It broke my heart a little bit because he was just kind of like, yeah, I didn't think people in Seattle liked me. It's like, no idea. Rusnak, that was the first jersey. As soon as he signed, I got his jersey. Like,
I think, because you know how there's some games where we just have trouble scoring.
Yeah.
I think Rusnak is our scapegoat because, you know, we don't want to get on Jordan because he's our homegrown. We don't want to get on Rothrock. Right. He's our homegrown. Like,
but I think what people don't realize until – they don't always realize what he does until he's off the field. Like, if you take him off the field, it's noticeable how different it is.
Oh, yeah. When he came off in the Western Conference Final.
Yeah.
Absolutely, we were lost the game once he came off.
Yeah.
Like, it's not because he got hurt. But, like, the game completely changed. Like, we lost control of the game once he came off.
Yeah,
nobody can really do what he does kind of in that area at the top of the box and just being that offensive fulcrum, you know. He's pretty he's that focal point pulling the strings. And yeah, I think too, maybe the reason why he was like, oh, I don't, like, nobody likes me in Seattle. It's, you know, and for those people who don't realize what he does, if they're trying to compare him to, like, you know, Oladera or a Dempsey or, you know, it's just, he's not that kind of player. What he brings is something different than either of those guys and anybody else on the roster, really. And it's very subtle, you know. And so I think, you know, it can get lost, especially if the team is having down performances. So that's really sad to hear. We need to, like, throw him, like, an appreciation party or something.
I know. Like, I felt so bad because I love him. Crazy. He's one of my favorite players on the team.
I'll think of a movement.
Snack time, baby.
We need a
hashtag
we need
snack a time. There you go.
It's always
a free Pedro
time.
Movement for him.
Hashtag snack time. No, I think a lot of.
I mean, he's not a flashy guy, I think, so it also plays against him where when you're not a flashy guy, you don't get a flashy reaction from the crowd.
No, and I think...
True, but he's so technically, like, skilled. I mean, some of the goals he scores are... I mean, only he is scoring those goals. Like, yeah. he is so precise.
No, I think that, like, a lot of the hate that he gets is from people that aren't watching the game. They're just looking at the box score. They're watching highlights. So they don't get to see the full 90.
I mean, I the guy that sits behind me who was a soccer player criticizes him a lot. But I think they criticize him for something that's not his fault. Because if you want to play with him with the style of play that we play, he's maybe not the best player in that position I mean, you're not going through him, right? You're going through the wings. If we're playing through the center, like we all have talked about us wanting to do more, especially with our inability to hit the second runner like we used to do. When we could hit that second runner coming through, we scored so many goals. But if we're playing through the middle, that's where he shines. And that's not something that we seem to do anymore. Like, we'll pass it to him and he'll pass it to the wing. But if you got him running at goal and hitting people on the run, I think that's when we really would see greatness out of him. That's not Schmetzer's style, though.
I would like to see him take more shots outside the box.
Yeah, we've seen that he can score those, right?
Yeah. Like, Pedro's goal was outside the box. Rusnak, I think, on...
It was outside.
He had to go outside the box. The one that he hit in the bottom corner was outside the box too, right?
I think so, yeah.
So, like, when we shoot from outside the box at a consistent level, we score more goals than we do in the prime assist zone.
Yeah. They really broke down his shot, too. I think it was in the Club World Cup, but maybe it was an MLS match right before it, and talked about that he doesn't kick it the way a traditional player does, but his style is exactly the same as Cristiano Ronaldo's, which is why he scores so many balls, because the ball goes so hard at the goalie that it has a pace that they don't expect out of the kick.
He's just spamming the low driven shot from FIFA.
Double tap, yeah, circle sure. Now. New changes being made to the game.
Yeah, I mean, I love him. It's such a bummer that he felt that way, and I want to make sure that he feels loved.
He needs to feel our love, because he is, didn't he set the record for what was it, first Sounders player to 50 goals, 50 assists or whatever?
First MLS player, on two different teams.
Right. That's incredible. That's incredible. He's an amazing player. He needs to know that.
Yeah, I mean, maybe there's no song about him. You know, ECS doesn't cheer at him. I don't know. But he's in a position that I think isn't very heralded, because he may be at center attacking mid, but he often plays more like a center mid. I think he's not
a playmaker.
Yeah. Because he's running the offense. You watch him, even when he's not touching the ball, he's telling people where to go and what to do. So he has a huge impact there.
Yeah, we need that.
Yeah. I think I went to the bathroom. I know I went to the bathroom. I didn't think, but I think an interesting thing is I went to the bathroom. I left. I said, Nick, I'm going to run to the restroom, because whenever I do that, we tend to score a goal. And then they scored. And then I went and got some lunch, and we scored. So I missed the first two goals. So I think if we're going to, I didn't expect them to score, but if I step away, the Sounders do score. So maybe I need to be absent during the game more often.
Well, it's like those times where you had that you weren't able to make it to the matches, and we go and win 3-0, 5-2.
Yep.
And the matches that we tailgate too.
Yeah. We did. We had a nice tailgate before the last match. I got a little sunburn. I was surprised. But that was fun. I did sit in ECS. My dad didn't tell me he wasn't coming to the game, so I just had an extra ticket, and no one could take it. So I sat. It was me and Nicholas and Alex and Nicholas's daughter and Dan and his family. So we had a nice little ultras party.
And Eric 13 too.
Yep, Eric 13. Shout out. Of course, none of us would have been there without Eric. So that's just a given.
No, Eric, I just remember when Pedro scored, I was just looking at you the whole time. You turned around, looked at me.
And now he knows. Free Pedro.
Man, that was...
I mean, do you think there's anything we can take away from this game moving forward? I think both Jordan Morris's injury, but also heading into Atlanta, with the knowledge also that yesterday Rothrock broke a bone in his hand. It is not traveling.
I think he has surgery today.
Did he? Yeah.
I've seen something as far as, like, he has surgery.
Yeah, I know he wasn't in practice, and they said he broke his hand, or bone in his hand, not his whole hand, thankfully. But what do you think is happening heading into Atlanta, where, unfortunately, we talked about it last episode of the show, where Garth had stepped away due to cancer, and they've been struggling a bit. And their fans are angry because they just traded away one of their young stars for basically nothing, a defender.
Well, who'd they get rid of? I think I missed that.
A young defender who's only played 12 games, but they basically have nothing in return for him. So they're pretty mad about it. I don't know. They got on Chris Henderson, and I was like, yo, we'll take Chris Henderson back. Like, that dude brought us all our championships.
No, yeah, I think I've seen that, but then I didn't really pay too much attention because it was Atlanta. I'm like, yeah, they're mediocre either way. They paid, what, $20 million for Latela, and he hasn't been producing, really?
Yeah. But any concern about the Sounders heading down there? Missing Rothrock, who, you know, if Pedro can show up and be the man, we don't need to worry about that. But Rothrock has been our offense, it feels like.
No, I think if Pedro could, this is, so now, like, Pedro showed up last game. Like, that was his, like, I've arrived game. So now what he has to do is build off these performances and continue with that momentum. Because there's no, we could be free Pedro, this and that, but if he's not being consistent with his game, then we have to try something different.
Yeah.
But I think him and Danny have a good connection. If we see Reed play as a left back again, I think they have a good connection as well. And then we'll have Yamar probably playing more minutes.
Is this game two of the new Who suspension, or is that over? That's how much my brain has forgotten everything in the past.
I think it's over.
It's over.
It's over. But if Brian doesn't play him, then that's between the coaching staff and new Who.
Yeah. Oh, breaking news. This is a huge one for me, as I just taught a class on this. Donald Trump signs an executive order seeking to clarify NCAA athletes' employment status, which is an NIL thing. I just taught an entire quarter on NIL at Seattle University. And then 6 hours after our final class, there was a settlement that changed everything. And now they have 30 days to preserve college sports opportunities to prevent them from becoming professionals. Interesting. So led by Linda McMahon, who's had a busy day today. And breaking news, Seattle Mariners are acquiring first baseman Josh Naylor from the Arizona Diamondbacks.
What?
What? That's what I'm talking about. I wish they get Eugenio, but holy, that's, I mean, we're actually making some moves. That's what I'm talking about. Come on, Sounders, be like the Mariners.
Let's go.
Yeah, we're not making a move now.
But we have the summer window just opened today. Like, well, the Sounders got to make a move. Like, we don't have a forward.
We don't
now.
Got the money.
I mean, Miami had the money. They figure it out. We just need to be creative with how we do it.
Adrian bought new curtains. Shout out, Dan.
Oh, my God.
Wow, the Mariners. Okay, hopefully that's just the first of several moves by the Mariners.
I would love to see a Eugenio back as well, even though, you know, we traded him away in the first place.
Yeah, we just let him go because they
said the salary dump. Basically.
Yeah, he didn't have enough. They said he didn't try hard enough or some stupid thing.
What? That's so stupid.
They said, and he's second in the Major League Baseball with in home runs behind Cal. Imagine if he was on the team. But Josh Naylor on our new Mariner Scuttlebutt podcast, which I actually want to start a Mariner Scuttlebutt podcast probably for next season. But Josh Naylor is batting .292 with 11 home runs, 59 RBIs. So great addition to the
That's good.
The Mariners. Do you think, speaking of additions, that adding a forward to the Sounders, even one that is just a backup at this point, is a good idea?
Yes.
Yeah, we have to. I think D Rose is ready for consistent minutes backing up Danny.
Yeah. Well,
and now the front office doesn't have any excuse of like, oh, we're waiting for Jordan Morris to come back. Blah, blah. It's like, well, that ship has sailed. So we need something different from Danny and Jesus up top. And I mean, after that, and let's, assuming we, you know, we can't really field D-Ro if he's not performing up to our standards, who else would we have up top?
Jesus.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. After Danny and Jesus, like, we've basically like got like 2.5 forwards.
They'll put Georgie right up there now. Or Rothrock. Imagine them.
I mean, Georgie. They did do that one time with Georgie.
We lost that game.
Yeah. Yep. I mean,
right, it's all
funny.
Experimental at that point, right?
Yeah. Looking at the goals out there, so these are MLS free agents, meaning people we could just sign right away. Midfielder, but I've always liked him, Latif Blessing. Has 5 goals in 27 matches, but worth about 800K euros. Bobby Wood, 4 goals in 18 matches. He's available. I don't think Insigne is coming back. Jonathan Lewis, who most recently played for Barnsley, is an American, dual American Jamaican, 3 goals in 24 appearances. That might be it when it comes to Michael Chang, who has no goals in 22 appearances for Salt Lake, and Tommy McNamara, an Irish-English dual citizen who has no goals in 5 appearances. So not a lot of depth out there in terms of attacking of just available MLS free agents. Surprised that no one signed Shane O'Neill, actually. He's still available, former Sounder. Was a pretty great center back for us, but maybe he most recently played in. Oh, it looks like he might have just signed for FK Radinki in. I don't even know what country that is. That's an Eastern European country of some sort. He's now out of contract since then, though. It must have been a short contract, but. Yeah, not a lot of free agents ready to go that have scored a lot of goals. So you're having to bring in someone to do something, I guess, that we don't expect. We've already raided Tacoma Defiance. They have now fired their coach because they've fallen apart.
Really?
I think there's more to the story.
Probably, but... I mean, the whole point of Defiance is to get your 10,000 minutes for that player so that they can develop and move up, right? They're not about winning, so it can't just be losing. That's not the point, is necessarily to win.
Right.
Maybe he's not playing certain players that the front office wants, and he's like, you're out. You're fired.
Yeah. Fired. Could be. So... I don't know. It'll be a interesting stretch here where I think the Sounders could use someone to score goals. I would like, I mean, this player doesn't exist, right? I want a Will Bruin style backup, not Will Bruin as a starter, like late career Will Bruin, but maybe those players just aren't available anymore. Especially this late in the season, in the off season. We could have gone and got Jeremy Abobase in the off season, which I would have loved.
Oh man.
Like, can you imagine if we had brought him in because he was available in the off season?
Yeah, he's great. But
I love him. I think, is he LAFC? Is that where he went?
I think so.
Yeah.
I think Giroud was his backup.
Yeah. Who's now gone, but they're bringing in more people.
They're bringing in Son. Human Son.
Yeah, well, looks like it. We'll see if it gets finalized.
Let's hijack it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Boy, so. The last reason to be a Spurs supporter is
gone.
Out the door. Yeah.
Yeah. He won a trophy and dipped. He said, I finally did it for you guys. I'm out.
I mean, I'm just looking at the free agents that were available starting the season, and most of them have been signed, but they do have Rusnak on there because of it. And I just want to point out 84 key passes in 2024, 2,500 plus minutes played for 4 years running. He'd get plenty of interest from other teams that had said, last year was the best season of his 8-year career, 10 goals, 16 assists, 88% pass completion rate on his 1,165 passes, and the top chance creator for Seattle. Like, it makes sense that we signed him. And I wonder if, now going back to Rusnak there, do you think that maybe some of the love he doesn't feel is because the Sounders fans wanted a higher profile level DP signing, and he feels like it falls on him because they signed him instead? I wonder if that's part of it, because I want a high level DP signing, but I want him too. Like, you know what I mean? Like, he's not the one I'm replacing of the three DPs we have on our team.
Who are you replacing?
Jordan.
Okay. At least we're on the same page.
This was his chance to shine. I love Jordan Morris. Don't get me wrong. Like, from a personal perspective in high school, you know, my cousin, my cousin is, we'll say on the spectrum, and, Jordan was so kind with him and always went out of his way to make him feel welcome. And so, my admiration for Jordan goes well beyond what he does on the field. It's who he is as a human being. And he's had a direct impact on my family. Yeah, like, I'm not sure how you give DP money to a player, even though he's hurt. So it's not always his fault, but can't stay on the field.
Yeah. And it's been a couple of seasons now of him being a DP.
Yeah.
Right. And do we feel like he's reached that kind of status at any point? Right. So I think from just a pure like business perspective, I think that's totally fair to want.
I guess this is technically his first year as a DP, because he triggered it by how many goals he scored last year. But there's the ESPN breaking news of Josh Naylor coming in to the Mariners, as reported by Jeff Passan. Passan, however you say it. I'd love to see who we're giving up for him. And I also wonder if that means the Mariners are out of the Eugenio Suarez race, which the Yankees and the Mariners are the two teams going the hardest on that.
Oh, man, I hope we get Eugenio. I mean, I know Ben Williamson has been awesome over, you know, playing third, but obviously his bat is not as good as Eugenio. And I feel like Eugenio could totally mentor him too. So I don't see any issues with like, oh, well, then Williamson won't get to play as much or anything. It's like he's still a rookie. You know, he'll get to learn. Man, that would be really nice. That'd be really, really nice.
I think the way we feel, and this is why I keep bringing it up, the way we feel about this Mariners move is the way we would feel if the Sounders brought in
anybody. Come on, do something.
Well, now that we have, you can do a cash for in the MLS.
Yeah.
Oh wait, but that involves money. So
we don't, but it doesn't.
What's
it,
money?
The problem is the cap hit, right? How much cap space we have versus the player we bring in, right? So we can bring in a player on a loan, and right. Then it will not hit us the same, especially if it's a loan to buy. I mean, you see lots of teams do this. This is something that we tried to do last year in the summer window, and it didn't work out. So there is room for that. It's just getting a player that wants to do it. Last time we sought players. There was two that were on our radar that got that far, and both of them decided they wanted to stay in Europe. So, and those were wingers, though. Those were forwards. So it's not like we can go back to the well on that, but it'll be interesting. What are you expecting out of the team in Atlanta?
I kind of wanted to touch back on Jordan being a DP9.
DP?
Yeah, okay. I think so. What I think of a DP9 is someone that's in the Golden Boot race.
For the Sounders, especially.
Yeah, like that. As a DP9, you have to be, you know, producing. And we can say that he's been hurt this year, but part of the game is being able to stay healthy. He's been very injury prone this year. Like, he's had a bad luck with injuries. And yeah, that's not entirely his fault, but it's still part of the game. Like, reliability is, or availability is the best thing as a player. Like, there's no point in having a Messi or Ronaldo if they're only going to play 5-10 games a year.
That's why we let Ozzy go. I mean, Ozzy, still one of the best players on the team, but was not getting on the field. It's why we talk about Nuhu, and sure, he's the best defensive left back this team has ever had, but if he's hurting the team and harming the trust of the team, and let me tell you, obviously I've never said which players have said this, multiple players that I talked to on a throughout the years have questioned his ability to not make mistakes mentally. And that doesn't, I mean, on and off the field more than anything, but and that's why I think Schmetzer said, and repeated it when I talked to Brian on Sunday, he's got knew who has to earn the trust of the team back, not just the coaches.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think Jordan though, come on. I mean, you saw it live on TV, Cedar, that was a foul, right? That keeper undercut him, should have been called for a foul on that play when Jordan got hurt.
Wait, hold on. Let me jog my memory on that.
It was
that crazy, like he was thrown up in the air and landed on his AC joint, basically landed on his shoulder.
Yeah, it looked bad, but the goalie got the ball first. He got there first. He beat him to the spot. And it was a bad collision. It's part of the game. It just sucks.
Any other position on the field, you're calling the foul on the person that takes the guy out.
I mean, we didn't get the foul on Pedro in the box.
I mean, that one was far more egregious. That
goalie penalty was getting away with a lot that game. Yeah.
That was ridiculous. Even though it was an accident, clearly he didn't mean to have to hit Pedro there, and it wasn't, you know, he wasn't going to hurt off of it. You can't do what he did on that.
No,
Pedro
play. No, as being a goalie for a few years. If the way that I'll do the same thing if I want to like hit the striker, like mm-hmm. I do that play so I can like leave a mark, so he knows not to like make the same run again. Like he didn't do that on accident. Like he did it with a purpose.
Sure, but even if he did, it's still a foul.
Anywhere else on the box, like outside the box, it's a foul.
Right,
but Mr. Drew Fisher didn't want to give a PK.
Yeah, he really didn't. It was a rough game. Do you think it's because he's Canadian?
Must be. That's the reason.
No, and this is like why there's going to be a lot of like games like this, because ultimately it's like the ref's discrepancy. Like if the ref uses it like this and VAR uses it some other way, it's going to fall on the ref. Like, ultimately, he had the final call and the final say. I did think it was crazy that it didn't go to VAR.
Yeah, I'm surprised the VAR referees wouldn't have blown that and just had him come over and look at it, because
it was
fun. Yeah, like, why wouldn't you just look at it? I've never understood that. Why wouldn't you just look at it? But, you know, I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah, yeah, Soren Stoika, VAR for that game.
Interesting. So that was only his second time refereeing? This can't be right. Is this in one season? Maybe this is
it might be
season.
This year.
Second time reffing the Sounders. Gives out 9.5 fouls per game, 0.5 fouls per tackle, 0.5. He gave out one yellow, it says. That seems for this season. That seems interesting. One yellow given. They got three. So clearly it didn't they haven't put in his new stats.
At least we didn't.
Oh, it was one against us. That's not game total. That's how many he's given to us. So okay. Whereas he's given 5 to the Galaxy, 5 to the Whitecaps, and he's given out no red cards this year. So I guess we weren't going to see a lot of that happen.
No, we didn't concede a PK and we didn't get a red. That's a win in my book.
And he reffed, was he our, he reffed Botafogo and PSG and Al Ain. And so, yeah, it looks like he was reffing, he reffed the PSG Botafogo match. So he did get, some Club World Cup time in there. And he gave 2 penalties to Charlotte, or called 2 on them in the Red Bulls game. So he's willing to call penalties, just not for us.
So like every other, every ref ever, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. Where do you go from Jordan then? What are you doing? Are you moving on?
Me?
Yeah.
You put him back on Tam.
I mean, I think that's the right move. I don't know how you do that. And what, he'd have to sign a new contract. What does it benefit him to do that? But
You gotta tell him you either take a pay cut and you help the team, or we gotta ship you off somewhere else.
Yeah.
Yeah, you gotta. It's gotta make a decision that's best for the team. There's no point in paying him a DP salary if he's not even playing. At this point, his DP means doesn't play. And like, I love the guy, I have his jersey.
Me too.
But you gotta be on the field, man. Like, you gotta help.
Well, you gotta be scoring goals too. I mean, the most goals he's ever scored was 13 last season, and
my problem is most of those, I think 11 of those, it was either 9 or 11, were from the wing. They were not from the forward position. It was once he had been moved over to the wing from the number 9 at the end of the game. And so that's why I think he's a valuable player on this team, just not as a number 9.
Yes. Yeah, it feels like, oh, okay. It feels like ideally he's playing on the wing or he's backing up at the number 9 when needed. But he's not. I don't know. And yeah, he's been injured. So it sucks, but clearly it hasn't worked so far. So I don't know.
It's just hard to keep backing him when he's not making it on the field.
Yeah.
What was it? He was out for what, 2 months? He comes back with 2-3 games and then he's out again.
Yeah. I mean, this injury, when people say, oh, well, they're always hurt. Well, sometimes the injuries aren't their fault. You know what I mean? Like, Pedro was rushed back when he shouldn't have been from his original knee injury. This was a complete fluke play, right? It's not like he's injury prone, necessarily. I mean, you could argue because it was the same hamstring he re-injured, but, it's an unfortunate incident. So I could see him being out there and not getting hurt at all. I just right now, what do we do for this season? And it's, you got to come up with some sort of player that can just a body out there that can score some goals. Doesn't need to score 10, 5 goals down the stretch here would be great.
I mean, Danny Musovski's our backup 9. He's our second leading goal scorer behind Rusnak.
Yeah. I feel like he shouldn't have had to be put in that position.
Yeah, but I think we're lucky that he's been playing phenomenal.
He did have that stretch of 11 games without a goal, though. So
I think he was probably arguing with his fiance or something. Because once he got engaged, he started tearing it up.
I will say he's one of the nicest people I've ever met. I had dinner with him last year at the Rave Gala, and truly, truly a nice dude. So what are we thinking? We got to talk about Atlanta, and then we got to get out of here.
We should beat Atlanta because they are very, very far down in the Eastern Conference. Although, ironically, they average the most attendance for their home games out of anybody in Major League Soccer.
By far.
They've got that down pat. Yeah, nearly 45,000 people a game. And we actually lead the Western Conference in our average attendance with just a little bit over 30,000 people each home game. But yeah, we should beat Atlanta. They're winless in their last five, and yeah, they're not doing too hot. So we really, really should beat them, but we'll be on the road. It'll be tough regardless. So
Alex,
we're going to win 3-1. Pedro's going to get a goal and assist. Rusnak's going to get a goal and assist.
Who gets the third goal?
The third goal? Own goal.
Yeah. Oh, nice. Okay.
Or Danny, one or the other. And then we concede a PK, and that's how they get there first. So it's 2-1, and then in a stoppage time, we get the third.
Nice. Love it. I'm going to say 2-1 Sounders. That's going to be my call on this one. I don't know who's going to score yet. I have to think about that more. But, man, go Sounders. That's awesome.
And then Dan said 3-0, Atlanta wins.
Oh, really?
No, I'm pretty sure that's what he was. he put 3-1 San Jose to win last weekend. So,
I mean, he's been on a more positive attitude lately. So, by the way, the Mariners traded their number 13 and number 16 prospects, a left-handed pitcher and a right-handed pitcher. So, not a bad trade there for the Mariners.
How many years left does Naylor have under his current contract? Oh, okay. So
he's a rental. I mean, maybe they re-sign him like they did Randy, but
that's good though, right? Don't we always criticize them for not making an effort before the playoffs? So this, all right, it's good. Let's go.
Last year they made a bit of an effort. Year before they brought in our all-time leading ERA man. What's his name?
Castillo.
Yes. So we need our Josh Naylor. You listening, Craig? I mean, Craig, of course, wants it. Are you listening, Adrian? Bring in a forward.
He's going to say, we have Jordan. He'll be back.
Any last thoughts before we get out of
here? He's going to say, the doctors got it wrong with JP's knee. Maybe they got it wrong with Jordan's shoulder.
that's another thing we didn't mention. JP will be back this season because they went in there and his ligament was still attached.
Shout out Providence. Great doctors they have. Can't even diagnose our players right.
I will say I love the jersey matchup, the last game against San Jose.
Yes.
Because you got to do a throwback versus a throwback, right?
Yes.
Us versus, Colorado's
which they had. They had a throwback jersey, but
that's
maybe
ridiculous.
they didn't want to debut it on the road, I guess.
Oh, whatever. That's
the was it the green, dark green?
Yeah, which is their jersey. They used to have green and green and white stripes back in the day.
Their logos look more like a hockey logo than a soccer logo.
Yeah. I mean, the Avalanche, I think, basically stole their logo.
Well, the other point I want to make is I love the throwbacks that we have. They look great. And one of the reasons why is you've got Providence on the axe in the back, like in a subdued tone, like you can barely see it, you barely notice it. So I like that part.
I think this would be the perfect opportunity for our players to tuck their jersey.
Yeah, absolutely, let's tuck it in, boys.
Pedro, listen, tuck your jersey.
Yeah, they would all like they would look. They should all shave their heads and tuck their jerseys in. I don't know if anybody would want to face them then, pretty intimidating.
And they're going to say, why is Craig on the field? Is that Schmetzer?
No, if it was Schmetzer, they'd be wearing a bunch of suits.
Yeah.
Looking real snappy.
Although, he did wear his suit in 90 degree weather, but then didn't wear it last match where it was really pleasant.
Oh, was he in the training kit?
Yeah, he was in his training kit.
Yes, cause...
I want to know. We need to have him on the podcast, and we need to pick his brain about how he makes that decision about what
his game day wardrobe
routine. We should just we'll hit up Alex.
We're not even going to ask about subs.
We don't want to know about subs. We don't want to know about soccer. We just want to know about the clothes he's choosing to wear.
Why this suit and this tie? Why this pen for your press conferences? You're going to break the pens. I wonder how many
sometimes
pens he goes through.
It must be a lot. Sometimes, though, like Ziggy would come out with a different scarf every game. It was just handed to him. He had no idea what the scarves were. So I imagine Brian's a little more hands-on than that, but you never know. You never know. Can I just give a shout-out before we leave to Paul Rothrock, who came over and on Sunday and talked to us for a bit, and just such a cool dude. Like, he didn't need to come spend time with us, but he genuinely came over and just hung out and talked for a bit. Just asked us questions, was interested in who we were and what we were doing with our lives, and brought over his girlfriend. And it was just super fun.
Oh, also, we should give a shout out to Christian for letting ECS get their hands on the Heritage Cup after the match.
Yeah, they brought it over and gave it into the crowd. One of the biggest days for the Heritage Cup in a long time. I heard it even made it on TV. San Jose fans were even like, all right, I guess it's okay they won because the Heritage Cup gets some due. I meant to bring it in here. It's sitting in my front steps right now. On the other side of the garage here.
Put in the closet like they did.
No, I won't lose it this time. I'm excited. Heritage Cup, big things coming. We formed a nonprofit, and I think there's going to be a bunch of educational stuff coming around in ASL as well. So it'll be super cool.
Next up, Cascadia Cup.
That's great.
Cascadia Cup is Timbers Army and ECS, and I'm not sure which Vancouver group, to be honest. The main one, the big one. But yeah, we have. Do we have one game against each of them left?
Well, we have. Yeah, Portland's on October, and I think Vancouver's in September. I'm not sure.
Yeah, Portland's October 4th. My dad's 85th birthday. Although he won't be there.
Oh, nice.
Wow. So, all right, let's get out of here. We'll be back. Sunday? So we may have another Ultras episode before we have a regular episode. So we'll be talking Seattle versus Atlanta. It'll be a good game.
I will be with you guys in spirit for that game or for that recording. I will be at a concert.
In Seattle, no less.
In Seattle at the WAMU.
Who are you seeing?
The Marias.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, my girlfriend got tickets, so we're going.
I'll be coming back from a punk show in Bellingham, but I'll be back in time.
Yeah, if she goes to Sound of Games for me, I can go to a concert for her.
There you go.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right, everybody. We'll talk to you all soon.
Get on.
Bye.
You can follow the Sounders Scuttlebutt podcast on Twitter at @SSFCScuttlebutt. And for all inquiries, including questions for the gents or sponsorship opportunities, please email contact@scuttlebuttproductions.com. Be sure to subscribe to the show for new episodes following every Sounders FC match. And don't forget to share your feedback by rating and reviewing. And you can follow me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at BritVoxus. That's BritVoxUS. We'll see you at Lumen, and go Sounders.
Alexa, who's the best MLS team of all time?
The Seattle Sounders are both unequivocally and irrefutably the best MLS team of all time.